This is Money Beat from the Wall Street Journal. Now, from our studios in New York, here are Paul Vigna and Stephen Grosser.
Welcome to Money Beat's look at the week ahead. I am Paul Vigna.
I'm Stephen Grosser.
And we are joined by Eric Marath from Washington, D.C., Wall Street Journal economics reporter Eric Marath. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing all right. So, look, there's data on the calendar, there's earnings on the calendar, but all anybody really cares about is the Fed.
All anyone cares about is who's going to be, you know, the Fed chair, and you know, I guess when Janet Yellen's term ends in February, right?
You know, that's the big question here in D.C. It seems like every few minutes there's a new front runner anointed for this position, but it seems as if the White House has narrowed it down to five candidates, and they're probably going to make the decision within the next couple weeks.
Who are the five candidates?
We have, of course, the incumbent Fed Chairwoman Janet Yellen. The others are current Governor Jerome Powell, former Governor Kevin Warsh, John Taylor, who's a Stanford economist, and Gary Cohn, who's the president's economic advisor.
Who, as of right now, do you see as the front runners?
I mean, it seems to keep shifting. I mean, you know, early on, Cohn seemed to have the inside track, and then that's definitely fallen off. And then more recently, it seemed to be either Powell or Warsh, both Republicans, but both have Fed experience, kind of seem to be that, you know, middle of the road pick. But then President said that he likes Janet Yellen a lot. So apparently he forgot that a year ago at this time he was running attack ads featuring her face, and now says he likes her a lot. And he previously said that he thought, you know, she was doing a good job. So it doesn't sound like she's out of it by any means at this point.
No, she called back for a second meeting on Friday. Is that right?
Yeah. So I think that was a little unclear. She was at the White House again today. Mm-hmm. And but then what was sort of came out was that was just kind of her standard meeting with Gary Cohn, although Gary Cohn and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin are kind of the guys that are leading this search. So, you know, mm-hmm. Do we talk about how the economy looks and ask some more questions about the Fed? We're not sure.
All right. Well, here's one question that I think is pretty important and maybe not everyone knows the answer to. I certainly don't know the answer because I'm asking it. Does Janet Yellen want the job?
You know, I think she does. She hasn't put out there. I mean, the safer thing would have been, you know, when Trump was elected to say, hey, you know, I'm going to step aside. Or I'm going to, you know, serve out this year. You know, she hasn't given the indication that she's not interested. And that would have been like the face saving thing, you know, not to kind of keep her name into it at this point
and then
not be picked.
This
kind of would be an embarrassment, right? If you knew that was going to happen, you probably would have said 6 months ago, you know, at the end of my term, I'm stepping aside.
And we are clearly living in pretty unprecedented times, but how unprecedented would that be for a sitting Fed chairman to not be renominated?
Oh, it's been decades. I mean, even if, you know, you look at, you know, Bernanke was under Bush and Obama kept mm-hmm. him. We saw that before with Greenspan. So,
right.
I can't remember off the top of my head, but I mean, the Fed up until kind of recently hadn't been that political. It had been something that, you know, kind of if you felt like you were doing a good job and good stewards of the economy, the president, no matter the party, kept you on board.
Right. Yeah, I'm trying to, now that we start bringing this up, I think, wasn't Paul Volcker by the end of his term. I mean, Volcker came in 79 and kind of, you know, strangled inflation and everyone loved him. I think by the end of Volcker's time at the Fed, they had kind of turned on him. Now that we bring it up, I think. So maybe it was Volcker.
Perhaps. But yeah, I mean, definitely it's been a long-standing precedent.
Yeah, it was still a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah, of a Republican president's keeping Democrat-nominated Fed chairs and vice versa.
I guess what can we expect from, the front runners in terms of, you know, monetary policy? Because I think that's what the markets care about. Obviously, they know where, you know, Janet Yellen stands. But what about Powell and Taylor?
Yeah, well, you know, Powell, I guess it's a little bit of a, you know, the view is kind of that he would be sort of the Republican version, if you will, of Janet Yellen, that he's not going to be real anxious to take an aggressive stance on rates. But, you know, he's got the Republican chops. So, like, that's kind of how he's sort of maybe the Goldilocks middle-of-the-road candidate.
And also the bank regulation, he tends to be a little bit looser on that than Janet Yellen is. I think that's sort of the opinion, right?
Yeah, I think so. Now, it's a little bit, I mean, he certainly hasn't been the most high profile of, you know, Fed governors or Fed speakers, not a huge like newsmaker typically. So, I mean, was he just sort of showing deference to the chair and the leadership and he'll come out guns a-blazing? I mean, who knows? But that I don't think that he's considered like a really outside, you know, unconventional thinker. Whereas, right. whereas John Taylor, now that's someone that would be bringing a totally different attitude. I mean, of course, he's famous for the Taylor rule, right? And the idea that you'd set monetary policy based on a series of formulas and instead of, you know, a dozen or more people meeting in a room and hashing it out. So if you followed his rule, and my colleague Michael Derby just had a great story on this, you'd have interest rates like somewhere around 3.5% right now.
Right. Do you think perhaps the president read Michael Derby's great reporting on this story and maybe that changed things a little bit?
Well, we certainly hope the president is reading the Wall Street Journal.
Good plug. I mean, but it does raise the question about the 3.5%.
Yeah, it's a real question.
Because, you know, Trump has made clear he likes low interest rates.
Now he does.
Now he does. Yeah, right. But like, you know, since he's taken office, right, I think all presidents probably like a little looser monetary policy. But I mean, obviously, Taylor, if you go just by, you know, his formula, would be raising rates, right?
Right. Yeah. No. Absolutely. That's the thing. I mean, so John Taylor is kind of someone that's been in the background for. In a future Republican administration, here's a guy that's, you know, potential, you know, future Nobel Prize winner that's clearly a more conservative guy. Like, he would be a person to lead the Fed. So, you know, I guess that maybe got him an interview. And then initially coming out of that, the whispers were Trump was really impressed by him. But yeah, it doesn't match the idea of someone that seems more concerned when you look at his other range of policies with taxes and talk of infrastructure spending. Trump seems more concerned about stimulating an economy than worrying about, oh, are we overheating? And obviously someone that thinks that we should be closer to 3.5 or 4% on interest rates right now would be someone that's worried about overheating.
Right. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, more on the economy and earnings season. We're talking with Eric Marath, economics reporter for The Wall Street Journal. You are listening to Money Beat from The Wall Street Journal.
Rapid expansion?
We're ready.
Worker shortage?
We're good.
Anything can change the world of work.
A celebrity buys the company.
Depends on who it is. But relax, we've got ADP.
From HR to payroll, ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to take on the next anything.
For a new podcast experience, subscribe to the Future of Everything podcast from The Wall Street Journal. Now on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.
Welcome back to Money Beat. Paul and Steven here in the studio in New York City talking to Eric Marath in Washington, D.C. Eric, let's turn our attention to the earnings calendar. And what are the highlights on the calendar this week?
Well, in terms of economics, the big highlight is the GDP report. We're getting the first look at the third quarter's GDP. So typically, you know, it's a pretty high-profile report, the first take. But this one comes with a slew of caveats. But I'll set the groundwork here. We're expecting a 2.7% growth rate for the third quarter. So that's pretty good, considering during this economic expansion, we've been cruising right at the 2% line. A slight cooling from the second quarter, but still pretty solid growth. The caveat, though, is we had these hurricanes, and how did this react? How did the economy react to that? So if the number is much weaker than expected, it could be sort of written off. Well, the hurricanes maybe took a bite out of this, and keep in mind that occurred very late in August, early September, so we might not have gotten any of that rebound yet. But also, and we've seen this over and over again in the economic reports, the government saying we're having trouble collecting data. It's not that that the hurricanes necessarily did or did not impact the economy, but just there's limited data coming out because, you know, when businesses are disrupted and people are out of their homes, they're not exactly like returning the BLS's phone calls. And
right.
So that could be, if we could get one of those reports that sort of say, hey, you got to wait till the revisions in the next couple of months before we really can say, because we just don't have enough data out of Texas and Florida and Puerto Rico yet.
The other big, you know, report on Friday is the University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Survey. That took off after the presidential election and continues to remain high. What are we expecting, I guess?
Yeah, so the preliminary report showed a bounce back. We saw a little bit of a cooling in September and was like, well, are consumers not feeling as good, or is this just a hurricane effect? The Michigan economist said it looks like it was just the hurricane, because it's back to pretty much where it was this spring. So consumers are feeling good. And, you know, that just signals, hey, the unemployment rate is historically low. And while people have a lot to worry about here in Washington and elsewhere, you know, when people have jobs, I think that keeps consumer sentiment pretty buoyant.
One question about consumer sentiment is, how are we seeing that filter into – we got strong consumer sentiment. How are we seeing that filter into consumer spending and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, the jump in consumer sentiment has not been mirrored by the increase in consumer spending. But consumer spending has been, you know, steady and solidly growing. You know, I think the sentiment numbers are probably overstating how good things are, but, you know, the consumer is still driving this economy. And, you know, there's not signs that that's going to let up through the remainder of the year, which, you know, might set us up for the best year of economic growth, at least in the last few.
And then the last thing, and we'll just mention this and move on, really, is overseas. The ECB has a meeting on Thursday, and everyone is going to be watching to see what announcement they make regarding their big bond buying program, their version of quantitative easing. They've been talking for a long time about the fact that they're ready to start, you know, whittling that back. And people are kind of expecting that Mario Draghi on Thursday will announce that. So people will be watching that on Thursday. Let's talk about earnings for a second. We got a couple minutes here.
Yeah, so 17% of companies in the S&P 500 have
almost
reported.
Almost a fifth.
Yes,
have reported.
And so far, FactSet's blended earnings growth rate is 1.7%.
Ooh,
and that's down. I think it was around 4 or 5% at the end of the third quarter. So it's, you know, it's come down, although it's very early, and that can dramatically change.
Right. Like we said, only a fifth.
Yeah,
as I just did the math there. Very smart of me. Yeah,
you knew that 17% was
almost one fifth. Right,
it's amazing. But, you know, it is well off of the pace that we saw in the first and second quarter, which were both double-digit gains. Part of that has to do with the third quarter of 2016 was stronger for earnings because of oil's rebound, the price of oil rebounding, than the first two quarters. So the comps are harder. But, you know, I think everyone can agree that 1.7% would be disappointing.
Very disappointing. A lot of banks the first week or so, and now we're sort of expanding the sectors.
Yeah, we have General Motors, 3M, McDonald's, Texas Instruments on Tuesday. All, you know, big companies.
Yeah, cats on there.
Yep. And then going down to Wednesday, we have Visa, we have Anthem. I'm just listing them off at this point.
Right. There's so many of them.
Yeah. I mean, this week is really when everyone.
Boeing. This is when you start getting the real heavy, hot and heavy earnings. I mean, so many numbers, it's hard to process them all, really. But we will. Here at the Wall Street Journal and Dow Jones Newswires, we will be processing these numbers all week.
Yep.
Strongly.
Yes. Writing about them.
Yes.
Consistently.
On the Money Beat blog?
Yes, on the Money Beat blog.
Will you guys on the Money Beat blog?
Yes, we will be covering a lot of these.
You will be?
Yep.
Okay.
Twitter is also this week.
I love Twitter as a service. Don't know about them as a company.
But it's interesting. They're
always interesting.
Watch. And Thursday is actually one of the biggest days for earnings because you have
Alphabet.
What do we have
on Thursday?
We got Alphabet. We got Amazon. Obviously, those are two of the biggest that people to watch.
The vowels in Fang.
Yeah.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah, big stock movers.
Yeah.
Exxon on Friday. That's always
and Chevron, big, right?
Usually yes, Chevron.
Are right next
and
to
Exxon
each other,
are both on Friday.
Yeah. Those are the big ones. It's a huge calendar. All right. So that's about it, everyone. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it as always. Eric Morath, we appreciate you as always. Thanks for coming on, man.
Happy to join you anytime.
Have a good week, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.